I wanted to go ahead and go back over to 2 Thessalonians. And Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. He spent a lot of time with the churches in Thessalonica, and they seem to be, but it's a lot of those churches in Asia Minor had a lot of problems, and a lot of the problems were caused by people who followed after Paul, who tried to muddy up the water. These people were Jews who, hopefully, they had accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they had the mistaken idea that to become a Christian, you must first become a Jew. And so as Paul is going around in Asia Minor and he's dealing with the Gentiles and he's converting all of these tens of thousands of people to Jesus Christ, after he leaves and goes on to another city, then these guys swoop in and tell them that they've got it all wrong because first they have to become Jews. All right? But remember what the Word of God tells us, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. And what these people were trying to do was try to get these new believers to combine works, their works, with God's grace. Amen? And that's not how salvation works. It's all, for by grace are we saved through faith, not that of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? And so I call these people the Judaizers, because they would just kind of follow Paul around, wait until the coast is clear, swoop in, and try to pervert as many of the believers as they can with these false ideas of works, 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 doing this, doing that, observing certain days and weeks and festivals and all this good stuff, circumcision, whatever the case may be. You do all this so that you can earn your salvation. And we know that earning that works has nothing to do with our salvation. So I'm just going to go ahead and read again 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and are being gathered together to Him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by the word of the letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. So, here's something else that these Judaizers were doing, is they would come along and tell the new baby Christians, oh, and by the by, you've already missed the rapture of the church. You've already missed it. Jesus has already come back for His church, and now, you have no hope or whatever. And just, I mean, these people were just destructive in their intent and in their doctrine. And so Paul is writing them, and he's saying, it doesn't matter who tells you anything. If it is contrary to the teachings that we gave you when we were there, then ignore it. It is not the truth. The day of the Lord isn't already there. And what they were saying is, now if you died and you went into the grave, that now you have to stay in that grave until the end of times at the great judgment seat. And of course that's not what the Word of God teaches us. And so Paul is warning them, don't believe these people. They are here only to pervert your faith. Let no one deceive you in any way. Now, back 2,000 years ago, we had people running around deceiving believers with thoughts of, oh, the rapture's already taken place. Oh, if you've died now, you'll have to stay in the grave until, you know, the great white throne judgment. Blah, 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 blah. Do we have any deceivers today? All right. Yes, the world is full of deceivers. There's deceivers that parade around in the cult of Christianity, that are, telling you that, it's okay, you're fine just the way you are, you just try to do your best, and everything's okay. And that's not what the Word of God says. It's not us doing our best, it is letting Jesus do His best in our lives. Because I can never, ever be good enough. And so even today, we have these deceivers that are coming along, and they're deceiving the church. And so Paul says, let no one deceive you, because the day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. And so Paul taught the Thessalonians about what we call the great falling away. And the Bible tells us that in the end times, there's going to be a great falling away from the church. People are going to say, you know what? I don't want to be a Christian anymore. You know what? This isn't what I thought it was going to be. And so I've thought about this. What could it be that would happen in the church? I mean, this is going to be worldwide because it's the great falling away, where believers decide to throw up their hands and surrender and walk away from Jesus. What would cause them to do that? And the only thing that I can think of is some of the false doctrine that's going around today. We have to be careful what we choose to build our lives on. I choose to build my life on the Word of God. I thank God, even though the Independent Fundamental Churches of America were considered at one time to be somewhat of a cult. We call them Baptists on steroids. The one thing that I learned going to that seminary was that God's Word is the inspired Word of God. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. I trust every bit of it. They have a term in the Latin, the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture, which means every word and every part of the Word of God is inspired. And I believe it is. And there are those who are, professors in Bible colleges and seminaries that would tell me that I'm ignorant, that I am naive, that I am, ill-taught or ill-informed, because the Word of God is full of error. And yet the more that I study God's Word, the more that I find it to always be true. That is the one thing in the 54 years that Terry and I have been together, that is the one thing that has always been steadfast in our life, is that the Word of God is true. And that's why I believe that I am qualified to be a pastor, because I stand up here not based on my education. I stand up here based on my undying belief in the authority of God's Word in our life. Because you don't need Dale's teaching. Alright? I mean, I can tell some good stories and tell some jokes and stuff like that, and we'll all walk out of here laughing, and ha ha, that was a good time that we had in church. But that's not going to help you when the difficulties of life roll your way. It's only the Word of God that is going to be there, steadfast and sure. We don't have to worry about it at the last minute collapsing in and leaving us without any foundation in our lives. The Word of God is true. Amen? And I will tell you that I don't dissuade people from watching Christian television or whatever, but if you watch television and the pastor that's on that or the speaker that's on that television program is not telling you that they believe that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God, then you don't need to be listening to them. Because if they don't believe that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God, then when are they going to back away and say, well, this part here, it may not be, you know, God's Word. This might be Paul's teaching. Okay, and not God's teaching, not Jesus' teaching at all. Maybe this is just a pretty little story that Jesus is telling. And he doesn't mean for it to be true. He just means for it to, you know, teach us some kind of a lesson. I don't believe that the Word of God is full of allegory. As a matter of fact, I will avoid allegory at every opportunity, because once you start saying, well, this part of the Bible is allegory, that means it's just a fancy little story to try to prove a point. Once you say this is allegory, when do you stop? Oh, this is just a story. Well, then is this over here just a little story that's made for our entertainment? No, the Word of God is true. And we have to hold true to the Word of God. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word, O God, abides forever. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And I thank God that, you know, you can go ahead and stack the Word of God up against encyclopedias, against science books, or whatever. The Word of God always shows itself to be true. I told you the little story in the Encyclopedia Britannica for Children that my mother got for my siblings and I when we were just 7 or 8 years old. And there was when we lived over in Winchester country, my mom sent that encyclopedia set to us, and I looked up space travel, and it said space travel is just a thing of story. It's scientifically impossible for us to travel to the moon or any other planet. It's just the thing that good stories are made out of. And that's what science has to say. Okay? Aren't you glad that God's Word is not based on science, but that in fact, in the very first council of scientists, College of Scientists that was put together, that had Sir Isaac Newton, all those guys on it, they were to a person a believer in the Word of God. And that's why they created what we call science, because science has to be you have to be able to demonstrate it, and it has to be repeatable, and it's only something that is established by God and held in place, secure by God, that can be demonstrated and can be repeatable. Amen? And so, I thank God for my education, but I thank God for the Word of God that always comes first in my life. And so, something's going to happen. I don't know what it is, but something's going to happen, and great quantities of people who call themselves Christians are going to fall away from the church. And that's too sad, but this is Paul warns. He says, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the lawless one is revealed. And you can read about the lawless one in Revelation. And the one destined for destruction, which is the devil. And he opposes, that's the devil, the Antichrist, opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. And that's one of the things that's going to happen, is that the temple is going to be rebuilt. All of the building materials for rebuilding the temple are already on site. And it's thought that, you know, that the Mosque of the Dome, alright, they're saying that that's where the original temple was built. It looks now like it might not be. And so they're not going to have to tear down the Muslim mosque to rebuild the temple of God. just something that's kind of interesting, all right? And so this is something that's going to happen in the future. So Paul is saying, all this stuff hasn't happened yet. You haven't missed Jesus coming back because all this other stuff hasn't happened yet. And then he says, do you not remember that I told you these things while I was still with you? All right, so here they had received good teachings from Paul, but these other guys that came along, those people that I call Judaizers, all right, they just had some sort of charisma about them, man. They could sit there and lie through their teeth, and people would just eat that up. Say, yep, sounds good to me. I'm going to start believing that. I'm just going to blow off everything that the Apostle Paul taught me. All right? And then Paul goes on to say, for this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. And so I hope that since we've been here since 2009, and we've only been proclaiming the Word of God since 2009, I'm hoping that anybody that sits in this room for any length of time has the Word of God spoken into their lives, so that the choices that they make are not so much emotional choices or calculated choices, but they're based on God's Word. And verse 16, now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace has gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. And so all of this, Paul is addressing these nasty Judaizers that are trying to steal away the peace and the joy that the believers had by making them think that they don't quite measure up. They have to add these other things to their lives. Paul is shooting that down. And now he's saying this. He's saying, let the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father comfort and give us good hope. You know, the world can't give you hope. The world can't comfort you. Comfort, hope, peace, all of that comes only through Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Spirit of God can give you what Jesus died to give us. Amen? And so, I doubt if there is a person in this room that hasn't buried somebody, hasn't had to say goodbye to somebody. We have experienced that loss, that hasn't had their dreams shattered in some way or another. Just because we know Jesus is our Savior doesn't mean that we're immune from the sorrow of this world. But the wonderful news is that with Jesus in our hearts, He gives us the light shining in the darkness during that time of sorrow. It's the light, the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. That light is Jesus Christ. And we can still love Him. And we can still live a life. It says here, strengthen them in every good work and word. That's our daily testimony. It doesn't matter what you're going through, the world is still looking at you. It's still watching you. Oh, how's Grace going to respond under this set of circumstances? How's Mama Jo going to respond when this bad news comes? How is, you know, whomever, Jeanette, Debbie, anybody in this room, the world knows that we get the same bad news that everybody else gets, that we go through the same heartaches that everybody else goes through, The difference is that God's Word promises us that we go through it with Jesus, not by ourselves. Amen? God's walking through this in the person of Jesus and the person of the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter. God calls Him the Comforter. And yes, we have put loved ones in the grave. We've experienced broken relationships. We've all experienced this, but we know that through it all, our hearts are secure in Jesus. Amen? And that's something that the world can't begin to fathom. How can they have peace when all the world is falling apart around their neck and shoulders? It's simple. I serve the God of the universe. And He can take the worst things that can happen to me, and He can still turn them to my good. Amen? Father God, I thank You for Your Word this morning.